I had no intention of preaching this sermon today. And it's not easy to deal with in some ways, and yet I think it ought to be dealt with. It's based upon Scripture. It's things we deal with in this day and age. And it's things we ought not deny or blind ourselves to. I'm going to start with my theme verse, and then I'm going to give a little background. I wish I could finish this in 1 week. I'm sure I won't. But hopefully, two will do it. I'll try. Acts 17, verse 26. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. And how many times have I seen this verse quoted? And it ends there. I went to the Creation Museum, I remember. There it was. I was looking through online sources this week, and it was even half a verse when they listed all verses, the verses in Scripture that have to do with race, and they put half a verse in there. Well, because it doesn't always fit with their, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but Acts 17, verse 26, and have made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. I could have taken more time to prepare this message, but I often preach on things with as little preparation as waking up on Sunday morning and feel directed, feel led to preach on something and research it and preach. And so I don't think that's wrong. I believe I'm led of the Lord, and I believe the Lord has prepared me through my life. And the Lord has prepared you as well for these sorts of things. Yes, this may be a little bit disorganized. It's based upon my understanding of Scripture. You don't have to agree with me about everything. Believe it or not, there's people who don't. And I heard from a lot of them this week. But I heard from a lot of folks who did as well. That might be why somebody, an old friend of ours, went to contact me again, because he spoke about it. Anyway, I think it's no less biblical because it's a little bit disorganized. So bear with me. Perhaps you can or will withhold your judgment until I'm finished, or not, if you're so inclined. As a background, I recently posted something online, and I understand that it might be upsetting, controversial, and yet I think it's based upon the truth, reflects truth, and this is the sort of thing we need to deal with, be prepared to deal with. So on retrospect, for all the firestorm I started, would I have still posted it? Perhaps I would have refrained. But I believe the reasons were valid. And to avoid turmoil is not a good reason for not speaking the truth or posting something or saying something. And so though I may have been inclined, knowing everything that would happen, I probably shouldn't have. I refrained. We shouldn't be provoked because of what we think someone else may think. We shouldn't worry about what should I think, but what does the Scriptures teach? Or should we say, well, this is a taboo subject, I should never discuss it. You know, the elephant in the room. Eventually, the elephant's going to step on you and crush you. That's what's going to happen if we don't deal with those issues. I was told, quote, "Your post will be widely understood as a form of bigotry on your part." Well, that's unfortunate. But widely understood is not what I'm striving for, you know. And to be widely understood, to be widely accepted is not the point. Is that upon which we should determine, you know, what we'll address? Because we might be widely understood, and again, not to mix it up too much, but in this day and age, if you speak out against sodomy, if you speak out against the trans movement, if you speak out against divorce and remarriage, if you speak out against sensual dress, you'll be widely understood as speaking and maintaining a form of bigotry. I'd rather stand for the truth as I understand it. And what's there? I was additionally told, I could add a whole lot to this, but I was additionally told, quote, "You started this stupidity. Now I believe you've got bats in your belfry. And you've developed a following of zombies that will support your every thought without question." I didn't even know I had all these. "I have a Sovereign Grace church pastor who thinks you're crazy for posting that as well as your defense of it." Well, many folks commented on what I posted, and that's not a bad thing. Discuss the comment. I do not know many of them. I don't think they're zombies. I was also accused of building a bunch of cronies, you know, that just follow me, and I don't know where those folks are. They're not here, that's for sure. And I certainly wouldn't have agreed with everything that was responded, everyone who responded to what I posted. But that's kind of the way free discussions work. You know, you say something, someone says something. You don't always agree with everything that's said. And I kind of believe in free discussion, as long as it's kept civil and long as it's not vile. Just as an example, and it touches on this because this still touches and interlocks with some we've been talking about, Paul, as he wrote about the Jews and the Gentiles and so forth. Well, this is a related subject. A fellow I've known for many years that was prominent in the Confederate movement, and I didn't know all of his background before, but evidently he was from a Seventh-day Adventist and some other stuff. But I was this week blocked in the discussion by him, which had nothing to do with what I'm preaching on today. And I'm going to touch on that because it does relate in a sense. Because God created everybody. God made the differences. God made the differentiations. And God, I don't understand. I'm not a biologist, right? So I don't understand everything about DNA. I don't think they do. But God made the DNA that made people and the differences and the change. I do know this. I'm not a biologist, but I can recognize a man and a woman, unlike some idiotic Supreme Court justices who couldn't even say what a woman was because she's not a biologist. Well, I can see that. I can, and that's the point. We can see things. We can experience things. We ought to be discerning. And might I say, and I'll get into it eventually, we might should be discriminating. That used to be a good word. You know, discriminating means being able to distinguish, being able to tell differences. If you can't do that, you're not an adult. And I'll touch on that as well. Not that we should I'm getting way ahead of myself. My brain's racing. But we shouldn't discriminate against someone, if you want to use that terminology. But we should be discriminating, and we should discriminate. Anyway, I was blocked by this fellow. That seems unrelated, but the more I think about it and look at what Paul wrote about and about genealogy and about DNA and the differentiations. Anyway, he maintains that Jesus Christ was not Jewish. See? And he had no human mother. Yeah, that's where. And they say, well, because if he had a human mother, he would have a sin nature. Well, God didn't work it that way. No, he didn't. But Mary was his human. The scriptures are abundantly clear about that. And these folks who are so anti the Jews today, and listen, I don't like everything they're doing over there. I don't think we ought to be over there fighting. But listen, God's not finished with the Jews. And our Lord, listen to me, people, this rubs in the wrong. Our Lord was a Jew. He was an Israelite. He maintained, no, the Lord didn't have the DNA from Mary. He didn't have the DNA from Joseph. God was his father. The Holy Spirit formed within her. But Mary was his mother. How do I know that? Because I look at the scriptures and the genealogies tell me that. And he maintains that they'll say, well, we weren't saved by a Jew. I said, what? Well, I posted verses. Verses. I don't think I even commented much. And his only response was wrong, and then to block me. A couple of the verses I quoted. Matthew 1:1, and you could go on from there, but this is enough. Matthew 1:1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Jesus Christ was the son of David, the son of Abraham. The Old Testament prophecies indicated that as well. But he was the son, the descendant of David. He was the son, the descendant of Abraham. How can you deny that? They all say, well, we weren't saved by a Jew. Then the Lord, if you'll remember, and I'll get back to my topic, but I think this relates, kind of sets it in context. The Lord was talking to the Samaritan woman, and in John 4:22, he said, ye worship ye know not what. That's the Samaritans. We, the Jews, know what we worship. And then he said this, for salvation is of the Jews. Now, how do they get around that? I don't know, because he just told me I was wrong and blocked me. Well, that's a good answer. That kind of tells me all I need to know. The messianic prophecies and so forth that point to the Lord, they require that. That's why the genealogies are detailed there, to show his descent from David, from Abraham. Well, before I go on to that, I'll answer as well. He said I was some sovereign grace preacher thinks I'm crazy and got bats in my belfry or whatever. Well, you know what? I think there's probably a lot of sovereign grace pastors that think I'm crazy and that think I've got bats in my belfry. And I even posted something this week I happened to come across, and it said, when you first meet me, you might think I'm on meds. But after you get to know me, you'll think I should be on them. And a few folks like that, and I think they were just... I don't worry about some sovereign grace pastors who think I'm crazy. I don't know who that Sovereign Grace pastor is, but I've got a good idea. And I think I've dealt with him in the past, and I've discussed his utter animosity towards the South and some other things. And I tell you what, most Sovereign Grace Baptist preachers, God love them, I don't know them all, particularly those that call themselves missionary Baptists, that's a mess. Boy, missions are running Baptist churches today. And they've set it forth as the law of the Medes and the Persians almost. God, in the scriptures, you'll never see where Paul started a mission. He started churches. And I'm getting a field, but that's the point. Additionally, on top of everything else, of course, I was called that terrible, terrible thing that you can't reply to. I was called a racist. I've never really understood what that was. So fine, if you want to call me a racist. I do know this, and more I see people denying what was understood in the past, like from the second edition of the Oxford English Dictionary of 1989, says the origins of the word racist was first coined by the communist revolutionary Leon Trotsky in the 1920s. And that term racist was a term that was invented by the communists, the Marxists, to beat their enemies over the head with. And people call me a racist when we're discussing things that have nothing to do with race. Indeed, another discussion that had nothing to do with anything other than putting solar panels up out here in Levy County. And I commented, you know, yeah, we're going to clear cut all the rural areas of Florida and cover them with solar panels. And most people agreed with me. Some people took exception. One of them was a transplanted Illinois Yankee woman. And she told me I was blaming it on Joe Biden. I never even mentioned Joe Biden's name. Her feelings were out there. I said it was woke. I said it was woke, whatever. And so from that, she assumed I was addressing Joe Biden, and she went to his defense and said, it has nothing to do with Joe Biden. And we went back and forth a little bit. Eventually, and I don't think you could get away with saying this to anything, to anybody but a white man. And I sometimes use that expression when people get really upset with me. I say, he called me everything but a white man. And this woman went beyond that. I mean, this other discussion, people called me everything but a white man. She went on and called me, quote, a righteous white boy. Well, I'm 74 years old. And I know I'm not very righteous, but she called me a righteous wife. And this is a discussion about solar panels. But that's what they throw out at you. You can't respond. And I simply responded. I don't know if she had any clue what I was saying. But I said, please don't throw me in that there briar patch, Briar Fox. You know, call me a righteous white boy. Please don't call me that Briar Fox, you know, don't throw me in that there briar patch, because I was born and raised in that briar patch. Anyway, additionally, I was told my post was unbecoming, downright ungodly of a Christian. It was a type of thinking of the Antichrist. But it seems to me that the Antichrist's thinking will be just the opposite. The Antichrist is trying to build a one-world government. He's trying to build egalitarianism and equality and making a one-world government a homogenized civilization where everybody's mixed together and there's no differentiations. So I don't know how that sticks. I think it's kind of the opposite. I was told I was arrogant because, quote, I seem to display that I think that you think your thoughts and ideas are at such a high level that they cannot be rebuked or challenged by anyone when you are in error. Well, that's such a loaded statement. Yes, I can be challenged, and yes, I can be in error. But to say that I can't be rebuked when I'm in error, he's assuming I'm in error. I'll consider a rebuke, I'll consider a challenge, but if I don't believe myself to be in error, why and how could I accept such a thing? Isn't that the case with everyone? But when you speak out to some issues, you'll be called everything. Perhaps as we go on, I don't know, and it's really not the major point, I can share some of the other blessings I received this week. Some of them I probably couldn't share. There's no way that I can exhaust this subject. And there's no way that I can say I understand it all. But I believe the book. And there's no way I can finish it in a week. And I have no intention of making a career of this, or making this the focus of this ministry. But let me say this. I believe, call it what you will, in Scripture, race is a reality. Well, some folks, even conservative folks, they don't like to use it. They say, well, there's only one race, the human race. Well, I used to just hear that from liberals. I heard it this week from a brother I love dearly. But then he went on, as I explained to them, to agree with much of what I had to say. So there's just one race, the human race. And again, consider Paul's discussion in Galatians. There's Gentiles, and there's Jews, and there's divisions within the Gentiles. Now here's the thing I want to say, lest I be misunderstood. In Christ, they're all one. In Christ, there's no distinction. But you start getting these things, taking those verses out of context. Scripture, there's no male, there's no female. Folks say, well, then a woman can be a preacher. I think not. There's still Jews and Gentiles. There's still men and women. We're one in Christ. In Christ, we're one. Anyway, I posted this meme. And I think it was probably initially set. I didn't make the meme. It was initially set forth, I believe, to address the thoroughly false and bizarre teaching that's called Afrocentrism. Afrocentrism. In the black community, there are those who teach that the blacks invented everything. Civilization, everything, and the Western Europeans or the white men stole it from them. But they invented everything. Well, this meme is probably a little bit hard, harsh address of that, but there's the first half of it says, whites without blacks. And there's all the civilization of Europe and such pictures. And then the second half, and it was all together, but I couldn't print it out that way, is blacks without whites. And there's, you know, Haiti and the other slums and places like that. If everybody that was calling me a racist, none of them could answer that. I asked the one fellow, tell me the great black civilizations. Where are they? And I don't know what racist is. You think I'm being hard on somebody? Brother James, I had his name down here too. You remember that black preacher? That he preached hard against his people and against their ways. He said the black man begins with an M. Brother James. Anyway, he says, and I don't necessarily agree with that, but he said the black man never created anything. He said the black man doesn't understand the world. This is a black preacher. Anyway, I got his name in here even. I can't think of it off the top of my head. But this was to address those who say, we created everything. In fact, I saw another post this week that was put out by a black person, originally anyway. And it's got Africa there, and it says, dear white people, yes, we will go back to Africa and take all our inventions with us. I thought, what? Like what? Rap? Like Ebonics? Like what? And I'm not hating on anybody, but it's the truth. And do I want that? As a husband, as a father, as a grandfather, as a great-grandfather, you know, do I want that second picture for my descendants? No, I don't. For my posterity? No, I don't. I do not begrudge the black man anything. I wish him the best. And those that are here now legitimately and have been here for a while, you know, I don't think that they ought to be deported. In fact, you know, one of my favorite social commentators was a black man who is dead now. It was Walter Williams. Walter Williams understood these things. Walter Williams would speak to these things. Walter Williams even said, you know, he was thankful for slavery, because if there hadn't been slavery, he would still be over there in Africa. His ancestors were brought here. And so he became one of the greatest economists of all times, one of the greatest social commentators of all time. In fact, I published some of his articles, and we distributed them through Free Florida First. So, again, I think we need to speak out. We need to not be afraid to speak the truth. Race is a reality. Again, we've been studying Galatians, and yet there remains, though we're all one in Christ, there remains the Jews and the Gentile, the male and the female. God's not finished with the Jews. They got to remain, or else what does that mean? They also usually include the idea that, you know, Christ was black. Christ was not black. He was not a Negroid. Christ was not white. He was not a Caucasian. Christ was a Jew. Well, my friend, some of my friends don't like that, so he wasn't a Jew. He was just, you know, formed in Mary's womb. He was, but with her DNA and with the intercession of the Holy Spirit. God was literally his father. Mary was his mother. Not the mother of God. That's a whole other topic that Catholics go off on. But she was his mother. He was the descendant of Abraham and of David. I have no intention, and I'm sure I'll be charged with it, I have no intention of denigrating anyone. I have no intention of discriminating against anyone. But I do want to tell you, you need to be discriminating. You need to be able to distinguish, to determine. Not in a negative sense against people, but you have to be able to recognize things and to see things. Setting it in context, again, kind of. I speak of Walter Williams and my great admiral. He's probably my favorite social commentator, though he's no longer with us. Folks will say, that proves you're a racist. Okay, I'm going to give you something else that proves I'm a racist. I would not trade my black neighbor for any random white person in Levy County. I mean, we've not been real close, but I appreciate her. She's been there for years. I would not trade her. You say, well, that proves you're a racist. See, it's like when you say, well, I've got black friends. That proves you're a racist. I don't know how these people think. But they turn arguments upside down, so you're afraid to even say those kind of things, because they're going to say, that proves you're a racist. Okay. Fine. Walter Williams talked about how he discriminated. He said he discriminated against all sorts. I think he used the word against even. He discriminated against all sorts of folks when he chose his wife. First of all, she had to be female. He discriminated against everybody except females. And he also determined that she had to be black. He discriminated against everybody else. Now, did he hate everybody else? No. But he was discriminating. In fact, Walter Williams went so far as to say this. Take it as you will. Different folks have views about it. I'm not going to beat anybody else up about it. Walter Williams said he wanted his grandchildren to look like him. Oh, that proves you're a racist. No, it proves you're a human being. It proves that, you love your people. And you can't love anybody else without loving your people. Doesn't mean you hate everybody else. But he was discriminating. And then on an individual level, I respected Walter Williams. And I no doubt, though we can look in general terms and show those pictures of the ghettos and whatever, no doubt Walter Williams is far more intelligent than I am. I have no doubt about that. I've read enough after him. And he was prolific, and I felt terrible when I heard that he had died. Okay, one more thing, and this isn't about Walter Williams either, but it kind of shows the context of folks and people who are truly just... Walter Williams loved the South. He loved our flags. He defended them. Even though he wasn't, if I recall right, he wasn't even a Southerner. But he understood what those things meant. And he defended them. Because they were right. Because they were true. And so, yes, I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a grandfather. I'm a great-grandfather. I'm a pastor. Scripture says if we don't care for our own, particularly those of our own household, we've denied the faith and we're worse than an infidel. If I would keep my mouth shut and say, yeah, we'll bring all that in. I don't want Haiti for my kith and kin. I don't want South Africa for my kith and kin. South Africa was a great place at one time, or fairly good. They did real well, and then they killed all the whites, or in the process of still killing them off. And look where they... Haiti! They had a revolt and killed all the whites, and they still never recovered from it. Yeah, I don't want that. Does that make me a racist? Okay, well, if it does. And somehow it's okay to have a Japanese nation. It's okay to have a Chinese nation or a Latin nation or what have you. But it's not okay to have a white nation, a Western Europeans, which doesn't mean that it's restricted only to those folks. And you don't let, I mean, this country was founded, I have a bumper sticker, which probably makes people mad too, but this country was established by white men with guns. But it was never exclusively that. There were indeed many even Jews. There were indeed, particularly in the war for Southern independence, many blacks who fought for the Southern cause. One of the people killed in, Boston, where the redcoats shot all those people who were protesting. I think it was in Boston. I can't remember now. It was a black man. The very first man that John Brown killed when he took over Harper's Ferry was a black man defending Harper's Ferry. It's not exclusively about white and Christian, but when folks live here, they understand this is a white Christian nation. And there's nothing wrong with maintaining that. And in fact, those who join us generally are glad of that, if they have any understanding. But somehow it's okay to have all these other exclusive nations, or at least basically exclusive, but not European, not Western European. Our ancestors sometimes spoke of, and it was not always in a good sense. It's many times it was abused. They spoke of a white man's burden,
Rudyard Kipling
wrote a poem about it. Was trying to encourage Americans to pick up the white man's. But you know what it was? It was that they would crush the Philippines. That's disgraceful. What we did, what the American Empire did in the Philippines was disgrace. Was an abomination. We did the same thing, and I know I'm getting off topic, but we're going to get to more specifics too. It was the same thing happened in Panama. You know, this new president said, we're going to take back Panama. Well, number one, it was never ours. And the only reason it's called Panama is because we started a revolt against Colombia because Colombia wouldn't make a deal with us on the canal. So we started a revolt and made a whole new nation of Panama. If we were going to give something back, let's go back to Colombia. So I'm not saying the Western Europeans are blameless. That's the way they operate sometimes. You better beware. They call it the white man's burden. But at times there's a truth to that as well, because we ought to care for others. We ought to seek the best for others. But now we've got a new president coming in that wants to advance the white man's burden, right? So we're going to take over Greenland. You know what the majority of the population is in Greenland? They're Inuits. Native Americans. The same kind of people a lot are like in Alaska and so forth. That's the majority of the population there. But we're going to take them over. Greenland, Canada. You know, the empire knows no limits. Why in the world would we want Canada? Want another California? And worse? The point is, America, in its foundings at least, included many folks. But America was a white Christian nation. America didn't expect, when you inaugurated a president, that you were going to have a Muslim give the benediction. That's what's going to happen tomorrow. A Muslim is going to give the benediction of the great Donald J. Trump's inauguration. These people that worship at his throne. And then his blind followers have, you know, they're all, well, when people came to to this white Christian nation. They expected it to be a white Christian nation. It wasn't discriminating against them. That's what they expected. That's what they thought. But no, they didn't want to take over. And some wanted to become Americans. I mean, genuine. And that's okay. What happened to Ruth? What happened to Rahab? Ruth didn't come over and start a little Moab. Well, you know, like you have all around the country. You've got a little Havana. And she didn't come over and start a little Moab. She said, I'll go with you, and your people will be my people. And your God will be my God. Okay. And he made... Oh, let's skip the page here. Anyway. And made from one blood. That's speaking of Adam, right? The one blood, Adam. My one friend told me, well, we all have the same DNA. Yeah, no, we don't. Not at all. I've got three daughters. They don't have the same DNA. All the DNA they got came from Diane and I, but it's not the same DNA. It's differentiated. We don't all have the same DNA. It's just one race. We all have the same. No, we all, our DNA all came from the same source. It came from Adam. And it came in exactly how God created Eve, to some extent from Eve, because she's a female, right? Whatever God, everything that came from that first couple, from Adam and from Eve. And I guess primarily Adam. She was created from his side. We all have the same source. And there's truth. I reject the concept of the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God. But after the flesh, we're all the descendants of Adam. And we're all the descendants of Noah. And we're all the descendants of one of Noah's three sons. Now, some folks trace that back and they'll show you how all the races come from them, and it gets complicated. I don't know if anybody actually knows. At least not when it comes to the details. But that's not the important part. He made of one blood all the nations. That word nations is ethnos. Ethnos is where we get our word ethnicity from. And it speaks of those differentiations. And I had here Strong's, the definition from Strong's Concordance. And Strong said this. Strong used to be the most, you know, referred to concordance. It's in the back of Strong's concordance, and he has a list of Greek and Hebrew words, and you look up ethnos, and it gives you the origins. And it says, according to Strong's concordance, ethnos, quote, a race as of the same habit, that is, a tribe, specifically a foreign non-Jewish one, usually by implication pagan. That word nations was often used to refer to the pagan nations as differentiated from the Jewish nation, but certainly ethnos, nations, includes the Jews in this sense, in the broader sense. The word ethnos is not exclusively of race. It goes beyond that. There are differences. There are ethnic differences. And then one fella tells me, and I'm going to have to wrap this up. I'm going afield, and I didn't get to my main points even. One folks tells me, well, we're all the same, you know, it's just a difference of skin color. I was like, are you really that dumb? I mean, you know, race is not just skin color. There's much more involved. There's differences of people. There's differences of, you can just even look, there's physical differences. If they were all painted blue, you could pick out. God did that! Don't get mad at me. God did that. He did that for His glory. And I better hit one or two more verses before I leave and get everybody mad at me. And Like I say, let me finish, if you will. If not, that's okay too. The Apostle John is in heaven. He sees the saints giving praise to God. And I often refer to this verse because it shows that we're all one in Christ. But it shows more. And I'll look at Revelation 5. You can also find it in Revelation 7. And they sung a new song saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou hast was slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." And let me go to Revelation 7 because it makes it clearer. In Revelation 7, John says, "And this I beheld." John says, "This, I saw this. And lo, a great multitude which no man can number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues." John said, "I saw that. I beheld this." You know, in heaven, I don't know what heaven's going to be like exactly. Don't ask me. But we're still going to be us. We're going to receive glorified bodies like unto the Lord's. And John, when he beheld this great mass, and he said, "I beheld it. I saw it. Of all nations, kindreds, peoples, and tongues." How could he tell that? By looking. Because they were different. To the glory of God, by the grace of God. But even in heaven, not we're going to be better or less better or whatever, that's not a word. The Lord chose his bride. It's going to be from all those various peoples. But we're still going to be us. I don't know exactly how. We're going to be a good us. We're not going to be the rotten, stinking us that we are now. But we're going to be a glorified us by the grace of God. Okay, well, I've muddied the waters, and I'm going to wrap this up. By the grace of God, I'll try to finish this next week, and then we'll go on from there. And if somebody wants to throw darts or arrows or whatever, go ahead. I'd rather not tomatoes, because I got to clean this up. But we'll go on from there. We'll take our hymnals today. And we'll turn to page number 180. And we'll sing our closing hymn. If you like, you can stand. "When He Cometh." Number 180.
Stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they shall shine in their beauty, bright gems for his crown. He will gather the gems for his kingdom, all the pure ones, all the bright ones, his love. Like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they shall shine in their beauty, bright gems for his crown. Little children, through love the Redeemer, are the jewels, precious jewels, stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they shall shine in their beauty, bright gems for his crown.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a sovereign God, that you rule and reign in the affairs of men, that you made all the nations from one blood, that you set their bounds and habitations. And Father, may we seek not to add to confusion. Lord, may we be discerning. May we be loving. May we recognize that we're all one in Christ. And Lord, we look forward to gathering around the throne. Still being us. Put in a far better sense. And a perfected sense. Thank you for our Savior. Thank you for His atoning death. And we pray in His name. Amen.
Amen.